Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Creative Hustle Show, a show based here in Seattle, Washington, where we showcase the best artists, legendary pioneers in the creative circle. And today, my name is Dubai Dennis. I'm from the beautiful country of Nairobi, Kenya, based here in Seattle. And I have my brother right here representing the central, beautiful country called Congo and through France. And he has a lot to share with us, but I'm going to go bit by bit. Welcome to the show, my brother.
The show.
My brother, introduce my people and tell them who you are and where you're from.
This is Edimbo Lakeya. I'm a brother. I'm an artist from the Congo. Born in France, partially raised there also in a small city called Cray. Mm-hmm. Both my parents from Congolese. My father's, you know, my mother's mm-hmm. Congolese, full-blooded. Mm-hmm. Mungala. You know, that's the
what's
tribe.
Mungala? Mungala is a tribe?
That's our ethnic group, the Mungala. Mungala.
You know, Swahili and the Congolese, like, they're almost very similar.
Oh, yeah. So
that Mungala sounds like something that can be sound like Uganda, Burundi.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of similarities in the roots, in the words that I found out in Swahili and Lingala.
And Lingala, too.
Right.
Oh, thank you for being here. I used to, like, think you were like a how would you describe your discipline?
Illusionist.
Like you paint murals. You bring visions into canvas. How would you? What's the word you taught me today?
I mixed art with anthropology.
Okay.
So I call myself an arthropologist.
Arthropologist.
Right. So instead of writing about the ancient history of a culture, ethnic group. And, mm-hmm. I draw about it. So not only are you hanging artwork on your wall that looks nice, that'll make you feel like the true strong African king or queen that you really are, but also it's a conversation starter to educate a piece of our history
tied into
the artwork, and then you know get to learn, get to pass down the information to the kids. If you have kids at home, you get to pass down the information of the artwork that you have hanging. So it serves this multi-purpose for the creation of the artwork.
Bigger. Mm-hmm. No, my brother, born and raised Seattle, native, you mentioned through France. So give us a little glimpse of this life through France. So France is where you were born?
I'm a transplant.
Talk to me.
I'm a born transplant.
That's
I'm supposed to be born in Congo, but I was born in France. I'm a born transplant.
Talk about it.
So
tell us about it.
I was my parents. My dad moved into France in the '80s.
Okay.
I'm a son of an orphan. No, my dad was an orphan. Mm-hmm. So you know, as he got older, life was getting. You know, when you have parents, you know, you kind of pave your own path and stuff like that. So he decided to to move to France, and he has his own story also that. He's gonna have to talk about it himself. It's
deep.
It's deep.
Yeah, we're gonna get him on the show one day.
Yeah.
But
he moved to France in the '80s. I was born in 1990. I'll do the math. I'm not finna tell you. And then I was born there. Lived in a small city called Cray. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of Africans, a lot of Caribbeans influence. Mm-hmm. A lot of Arab influence also. So we had a strong, strong community of, Africans, mm-hmm. French Caribbeans, even like the Anglo-Caribbeans.
Anglo-Caribbeans, correct.
You know. So there was a lot of cultural influence and energy in that city that was very intense, We had to learn to speak our language, to navigate around the system. Especially if you say you're in the street, we have to learn your language.
You have your language.
So the police don't know what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. So it's like a hidden combo.
Our hidden code was our languages. Wolof, Lingala, Arab, Arabic, so there was that influence that was heavy. And then I moved there. In 2003, and then another thing I noticed too, as far as the school here, was the part. For example, the subject that we were studying in the school, some of them were things that were. It seemed like things were subjects that were studied when I was younger, back in France, and we were studying them at a later,
later stage. Yeah, so at least you came in at least with a little head start.
Right. So, you know, there was that. And then, but also, I didn't see the emphasis on proper integration.
Like learning both sides of the history, you know, of the war.
Yeah, that too. But also even for the students, you know, there wasn't that many translators and all that, at least for different languages at that time.
At that time,
you know, I think things changed now, but at that time, that's how it was.
It was tougher for like French speakers, Italian speakers, Portuguese speakers. That was hard.
Yeah, for those speakers, you know, they had the Russian speakers and Spanish speakers, you know, so there was that. So, like I said, I had to figure it out on my own and get comfortable figuring it out. And that's how I went, and I cultivated that mindset of being comfortable figuring it out. If help came, then there'll be a bonus. And then I think it built character
over time
that I would probably wouldn't have if I was still with everybody, all the homies back home.
Yeah. When I started on like 6-7 years ago, there were no like direct mentors, people telling you like, yo, plug yourself in this direction. How did you end up in the spaces you're in?
So it's funny because I went to a community college in Everett.
Okay.
You know, Everett Community College.
I like it up there.
And I went there for graphic design. You know, that's what I went to school for. But I found out that I didn't like being sitting on a computer, you know, looking at the screen all day, every day, you know, and then I was learning how to code. So I was like, all these punctuations, and just, it was making my brain swell up, man. So I had to just, you know, I figured, you know, I want to use my creative brain because that was activating my creative, creative juice, you know?
Correct.
So I was like, you know what, if I just draw, you know, and just sketch, you know, I just started sketching things here and there. I have a friend, a good friend of mine, her name is Jessica. She's an excellent artist, you know, excellent artist.
She draws too?
She draws, she paints. I mean, you know, she's just excellent artist. But she, one day she looked at my sketches and she was like, yo, stop doing this on sketches. You're robbing yourself and you're robbing us.
Like put it like on canvas.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah.
She was like, you need to scale this up. First time it went over my head. Because I was like, whatever, I was on some, you know, I've been drawing since I was a kid.
So this was like, I've been doing this a lot.
Right. I've been drawing since I was a kid. So in my mind, it's whatever, you know. And not till I turned 25 that I heard my first compliment. I didn't care to show my work like that.
You always want like for you, your spirit.
I'm at home, I'm bored, let me draw something, and then I go outside, play soccer, do stuff outside. And then at some point, I wasn't drawing that much no more because... You know, you make friends, you know, and then teenage years come knucklehead stage and stuff like that. But I was reintroduced to it by way of our culture, our Black history, the lack of representation or misrepresentation of African and Black folks or melanated, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to get caught up with those names, people. You know what I'm talking about. But the misrepresentation of our people is what got me back into the art.
Is it because you were doing a lot more research?
I was doing a lot more research. I was reading more books that would contradict a lot of the things that we thought were true in today's society. One of the documentaries that really made me say, all right, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna create some art. I'm about to create this work. It's Hidden Color.
Hidden Color.
Right. There was a segment that was talking about the revolution. And it was talking about the artwork that was created and the purpose and the reason for those artists to create those art pieces. So I said, you know what? With all our history that we got, you know, somebody's gotta talk about that. You know? And I used to always say, you know, I'm tired of seeing just, you know,
same old interpretations,
slavery, black men on their knees like this with shackles and,
you know, or...
Or some safari type of painting with some animals and all.
Or the propaganda, like cartoonist propaganda that's got the, you know...
Those advanced, you know... I saw what you're talking about.
No, the other one, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like four Africans on their backs like this, and they got a table on their backs.
Oh,
and then this, their Europeans sitting around at the table and they're playing Monopoly on the backs of Africans. Like, things like that, you know, things like that, I mean, like, struck my mind. I said, do people understand what it does psychologically to our people?
When they see that.
When they see this. So I said, okay. I find my own way. I'm gonna find my own way to interpret
to protest and express yourself.
Right, and express these things. The beauty of our people, you know, the brilliance of our people, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know. But you know, well, you know, whatever needs to be told and needs to be learned from, you know. So that's what got me back into the art, and through that, I had art sales at the school in Everett. Started networking with different people and artists in this in the Seattle area that eventually linked me to different places, different organizers and curators that host art shows. Starting with the art sale at Everett Community College. My first art sale was in that art building at Everett Community College. Sold my first piece for, I think it was $100. It's about this tall piece, about this wide here. And I sold it. This one made me stick with it is because I sold it before the show even started. So I never met the person who bought the art piece. I don't know what he looks like or nothing. I just went to pick up the money. And I said, just like that, I made $100. All right, let me find out. Let me see what else I can dig up. I just decided to stick with it, you know. And I've been doing that since, you know.
You had a show recently, too.
Yeah, I've had a lot of shows. I've been trying to think. I've been busy a lot, so I'm trying to think what I did first and second.
Start with this one here. How was it? What was this one at?
The last one?
Yeah.
The last one was in Oregon, like last weekend.
Okay, how was that? What was that about?
It was called the Zion Release Party. So it's a brother, it's a brother by the name of Edward that collaborated with different artists. Jessica, what I'm talking about, also was one of the illustrators. But it was at a wine space,
like sports a bar,
sports bar type of deal. Yeah. You know, kind of like, you know, high class type of deal, but there was vendors and, you know, a bunch of different artists, mostly artists, like visual artists. And it was a release party, so we got to give out some of the books, sold some of the books, some of the works, merchandise, you know, from that book release. It was good, you know, and it was with the Latino community out there.
I like that. That's bridging borders.
Yeah, but actually that's how I started selling art. It was through the Latino community.
Correct.
And then they plugged me with the Africa Town. And then they plugged me with the Black Dots. And then they plugged me with...
guys over Bainbridge over there.
Yeah. You know what, Bainbridge, that was later. That was later. Because all that I'm talking about, that's 2017. Yeah, I started doing... My first sale was in 2016. December of 2016. I'll never forget.
You got it right.
Yeah.
Put it in stone.
Yeah.
What's your creative process like?
My creative process depends on the topic and the theme of what I'm about to paint.
Okay.
So the creative process can be from me reading the book to highlighting key points that I want to transform into a visual. It could be a documentary. About a particular area, whether it's in whether it's in Malawi or whether it's somewhere in Puerto Rico or somewhere in Brazil with the Afro Brazilians, or it could be me talking to a person from the area, because books are good, but you can't ask book questions.
Sure.
But you can ask the person that's from the area. You can ask the question.
You can literally get a direct answer.
Yeah, exactly. Correct. So there's a lot of elders, especially as a elder from the Congo, we just talk, you know, we just rap about a lot of things, you know. So Yeah, I just get a lot of information from people from particular areas. Mm-hmm. I draw inspiration from my existence, things that make us the same, mm-hmm. but also the similarities with the differences within those same similarities. Mm-hmm. You know? And a simple example to scale it down is like, we can all eat cassava leaves. We can all eat pondu.
Correct.
But some people put beans in their cassava leaves. Some tribes put beans in it. Mm-hmm. Some tribes don't put beans in it, don't you?
Yeah, they don't want you there.
Yeah. Some of them put peanut butter in it. Yeah. Some people put palm oil.
Correct.
You know? But like,
they still eat the same thing.
It's still the same thing. So that's what I mean by the differences mm-hmm. in the similarities. Mm-hmm. You know? So I like to put that into visuals. It's cool to see.
Just to see all of that elements put together.
Right. Like I'm at the art booth, you know, mm-hmm. and that's another inspiration to see somebody that could be from Louisiana, from mm-hmm. New Orleans, mm-hmm. you know, and they could relate to the piece. But so does this person here who's from Martinique, who was, or maybe is from Ghana mm-hmm. or somewhere else mm-hmm. that can also relate to the same piece. Now there's a conversation that's created. There's a gap that's been bridged, and I don't have to be in it. Now they just
build.
I don't have to be, you know. So mm-hmm. this beyond just the art shell. Correct. Now I get to, you know, it's these gaps that get to be bridged.
Correct.
In these conversations that get to be had, mm-hmm. you know, that take place when they are needed.
Mm-hmm. And very important. I like that. Mm-hmm. How do you pick your shows? Like I see, sometimes you do. You have a mashup of either a performance, mm-hmm. like performance, like when we did at Kezira. By the way, shout out to Kezira. That piece was dope.
Yeah,
what inspired that place?
What inspired that place?
Yeah, that piece. That piece you did for them.
Oh, what inspired that place is that veggie combo.
That's
why. Yeah.
Put some sour cream on.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Nah, I don't put no sour cream.
You don't put a sour cream?
Oh, no.
What, hot sauce?
No, none of that.
The way it is.
Everything is just the way it is. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. But the lady is a real nice lady. Mm-hmm. I would eat there a lot. So at some point, you know, she knew what I was going to order. So, you know, we started, you know, just talking, and she was just asking me what I do. So I asked her, you know, I told her that I'm an artist. You know, I showed her my work, what I've done, and then she, you know, I think she had an idea when she seen the work, and that's when she brought up the idea of having a mural inside her restaurant. Mm-hmm. She at that time she had about 3 art pieces that were mm-hmm. hanging, mm-hmm. and they were about 18x24, like small canvases. But she wanted something, she wanted to scale up. So I told her, no, I got you. So it took me, a week and some change mm-hmm. to complete the piece. And it was just a representation of the African woman, the Ethiopian woman, you know, carrying water and walking her child, you know, to go back to the Gojo. I think it's called Gojo.
Gojo,
y'all correct me, Ethiopian people. But that's like this, that's the traditional houses, you know.
Like the ones that have the grass.
Yeah. So those are the houses out there. That's what that was, you know. And also, what inspired me is just because it's an African business.
Anything to amplify
African business. Why not?
Do
business, make a living. You already have a business, and then you make your business look better. Why not? We're all winning all around.
If you have a small business in town, you know to call.
Yeah.
Rules illustrations.
Yeah.
Reach out to my brother right here. Events to collab on. Mm-hmm. Like you have like the restaurant gig, you have the like art exposés, mm-hmm. fashion shows, mm-hmm. paint and sit, birthdays. How do you pick, like, I think I can execute this. Mm-hmm. What's your process like? Or do you take everything like that? Yes to everybody?
I don't do yes to everybody. Mm-hmm. I kind of follow my instinct, mm-hmm. but mostly it's something, it has to be within the frames of something that has to do with our culture. Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't have to be something that has to do with our culture or Afrocentric representation. Mm-hmm. But it could be something else, but I could still squeeze in mm-hmm. Afrocentric theme.
Correct.
Into a different space, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. still keep that representation, mm-hmm. still keep the authenticity mm-hmm. without, you know, having to compromise my style or my message or what I want to put out.
Yeah.
So I pick shows that have that room for me to express these things. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't pick any shows
Paint sips. I'm working on that. Mm-hmm. When I don't really like to be bothered when I paint.
Oh, because you know, paint and sip, you have to keep on interacting.
You have to interact with people. I'm interact. Then as soon as I start painting, I'm gonna stop talking mid sentence to focus on my detail. And yeah, I don't think that's what
slows down the juice.
I don't think that's what we want. So, yeah. So I'm working on that. There's people that are great at painting sips and create a whole experience. Like memorable experience, mm-hmm. So that's good about it. So I have to work. I guess I got to work on my being able to socialize and create.
I think so.
So that's just what it means.
You just have to get that. Just find a bridge, mm-hmm. Like find a balance. Sometimes I want to be around people and I'm hosting stuff,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes I really don't want you around
because mm-hmm.
you're messing up my creative
process. I'm thinking a different way, and I'm thinking about how I'm composing,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe sometimes I'm too particular with mm-hmm. with how I want to put the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I'm thinking when I go and create, you know, about messages, and then the colors and mixing the colors and mm-hmm. fade properly comes in,
mm-hmm.
you know. But for events, exhibitions,
mm-hmm. I like exhibitions.
Festivals,
yeah.
Because I like, you know, to make the art sales and then also powwow with people, you know.
Just bounce ideas and stuff,
you know. Yeah. Murals, I like to do those during the summer.
Mm.
I like doing murals during the summer. I teach also, I'm a mentor. At an elementary school.
Which one?
John Muir Elementary School.
Oh, tell us about it.
So it's an after-school program called the Kimutu Black Boys Art Club.
Okay.
Right, so pretty much what I do is teach Black history elements of Black history through art, and then we do a drum circle
mm-hmm.
In the second half of the program with the youth from third to fifth grade.
Good.
So it depends. So, like I said, the gigs that I take has to do with
Pan-Africanism.
Amplifying us
mm-hmm. as a people.
Whether it's working with the kids, whether it's the murals, you know. I might do other events outside, but I have to be able to put a representation of us in that space.
In that space.
You know?
Correct.
So that's just what it is with it. That's how I pick it up.
Now, because I know we're crouching on time,
mm-hmm.
but I have three questions. Number one, what's next for Edembo? You said
anthropologist.
The anthropologist. Where are you taking us next? And third, what's the importance of you tapping into your Africanism, your history? Because you said you were born in France, and for the people I know, the expatriates I know, the amount of work you've done to like learn how systems worked,
mm-hmm.
how these institutions of different countries work, and how you've used that to point to your work. Just sum it up for us, bro.
So the importance of keeping the Africanity,
mm-hmm.
Is because these parts of us can dictate how we view ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but in different, you know, there's different ways that our brain can like alter. It's going to alter our way of thinking, mm-hmm. especially in the system we live in. It's important, and I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna break it down mm-hmm. and make it very simple,
mm-hmm.
but it's gonna be able to let you know, for example, what our purpose is as a person, as a family, like people from your lineage,
mm-hmm.
people from your tribe,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you know we're talking about different tribes, and different tribes are like universities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say that we're tribals, right? Yeah. They're like institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say we're tribal, it's not because it's divisive.
Mm-mm.
It's because this tribe was good for good at hunting. Those they used to grow. This particular crop, this particular
food. Some fishermen over there.
Fishermen right here.
Hunters and gatherers over here.
Mm-hmm. You know? So, and then they trade. They traded. So, the importance of knowing that is going to help us with our future and pave the way and create a path to where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you know, you'll be like, oh, okay, our people, you know, it's going to explain why you're good at certain things. It's going to explain why you have a certain intellect that comes to you so easily.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. And it'll explain to you. And then once you know, maybe it'll push you to even put a little more pep to your step. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I understand that there's some people that don't know their tribes.
That's true.
But I would say to go with family lineage. What was the family known for? What was the family known
good at?
Good at. What were they good at? Was it building? Were they known for being traditional healers? Mm-hmm. Were they known for cooking? Were they strong fighters? Were they warriors? Mm-hmm. You know? So it's like, it's important to know these things. And then for me, it's important to put into the art because they got to speak in different languages. Mm-hmm. So if I put an image, you don't have to speak my language to understand this image that I just put. We understand each other. Mm-hmm. I just mentioned somebody from Puerto Rico mm-hmm. or someone from Malawi can relate with someone from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like our culture through the food by way of music, by way of poetry, by way of dancing, the drums that we should always keep alive, mm. always. I feel like every African family should have drums in their house.
Their house, right.
We all have cell phones in there. Mm. We all have TV.
Yeah,
we all have laptops.
Multiple of them.
We all should have drums somewhere in the corner of our house. Mm. And every now and then, grab the drum and let off a little rhythm. Because we all have a rhythm in us somewhere. There's a rhythm that it's just come to you naturally. You just know that you can hum it out when you cook. Mm. You have a rhythm. When the way we walk, there's a rhythm to it. Mm. The way we talk, when we express ourselves, there's a rhythm to it. So you can't let it die out because that's what makes us, that's what gives life to this planet. I'm just going to say it straight up. That's what gives life to this planet. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's important. We have to crystallize these things for the next generation also.
Not for us. Longevity.
Longevity. Mm-hmm. So how do we keep these things crystallized so that the next generation can benefit also? Just like my elders left Lingala for me to learn, even though I've never been to the Congo. Mm-hmm. But I'm thankful because now if I go home,
you're there.
I can communicate with my cousins.
Real quick.
I can talk to my great auntie. Mm-hmm. I don't need a translator.
No.
I can talk to my grandma, no problem. I don't need a translator. Mm. That's why I know the importance of it. Because even though there was the element of the streets I talked about, you grow out of it eventually. That's not who I am.
It's a phase.
It's a phase. And that's not who I am. Living in the West, in our, the mentality that it shapes us into is not us naturally. Mm-hmm. Whether you're the diaspora, African-American,
or
African-African, that mentality that we develop here is not us. But the little bits of pieces of African culture that is left behind has benefited me, even though I've never been on the land, because I knew not to go too far. Mm-hmm. And I knew when to snap out of a thought process that was, I felt was controlled. You know? Yeah.
Big up to you, man. Big up to you. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the wisdom from the brother itself. Telling you, this guy has a powerful message. I wish I had more time. Would have sat here for like 5 hours. Because I have so much to pick about his brain. I know how remarkable some people can be to our society and our community. And that's why I share this space with them. Brother, I'm ordering a piece this summer, so you better make me something. Good. Food in it, chicken and spread some stuff for it. Where can they find you on social media?
So you can find me at Natty Dread Illustration. That's N-A-T-T-Y underscore D-R-E-A-D underscore illustration. N-A-T-T-Y underscore D-R-E-A-D underscore illustration. Just reach out for murals. I do murals. Stay tuned. Once you follow us, once you follow me, stay tuned. I'm gonna have a lot of shows.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have solo art shows, solo exhibition coming up in the summer. You know, I want to shout out also some of the peoples too from back home.
Let's get it. And don't forget our Tequila people.
That part too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my family back home, que ce soit en France, que ce soit au Congo. Salut à tous. And then also the group, the collective.
The collective.
There's an artist collective I want to shout out to.
Yeah, the
man.
One here in Washington.
The Brush Squad. No,
the Brush Squad.
I'm going to keep it like that. They know what's up.
I did the Bougie.
That's just the Brush Squad.
The Brush Squad, okay.
The Black Bougie was the name of the
event. The name of the event. Oh.
That's the theme of the event. Me, I'm, you know what I mean?
Brush Squad.
Yeah, that's just the shout out that I wanted to send. I sent to send out to them because we're proving that we don't have to compete as artists. We can help each other out.
We can work together.
We can boost each other up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted to be around.
Keep on watering each other. I like that. Yeah, we just want to remind you guys, we have a situation of refugees out there in Tequila. And I haven't been there. You've been there. Mm-hmm. I'm about to pull up over there. How can people help?
Yeah, so this moment right now, you know, if y'all know about the situation in Congo, has led to many refugees, people to leave their homeland. And now in Tequila, there's a situation with refugee crisis. There's hundreds of Congolese, Angolans, Venezuelan refugees, and they are living outside in tents in terrible conditions. I mean, they have, I mean, if you see the tents, what they use to make tents, it's not somewhere where you want to have families sleep under.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the women are pregnant, but they need clothes at this time. They need housing. Mm-hmm. The La Super Familia is an organization that helps out with collecting funds and also advocating and doing a lot of work, pressuring the city to come up with a solution to help house these the refugees.
Yeah.
But me, I personally, all I've been doing is collecting clothes, trying to help find jobs for some of them, which is the next challenge. Bring food from time to time, and just try to be there and trying to talk with them, dialogue with them, pick their brain, see where their mind is at. But just need help. If y'all have clothes, like I said, you can either follow me or DM me on Instagram. And then I'll send you my personal information. And then we can go on from there. But collect clothes for kids, women, jackets, shoes, sleeping bags, blankets, towels.
Make sure also you be decent enough.
Please keep them clean.
Don't bring them like dirty and stuff. Be humane. Like.
Please wash them, because the situation that we are in a situation where the things is hitting the fan right now, and it's right in our backyard here in Tequila. A lot of these people have talents. A lot of people have skills, and I've seen it for myself.
They just need
to push. They just need to hit the ground running. They just need a plug, somebody to put them onto something.
To something, correct.
So if y'all have leads on jobs too, if you could reach out for any kind of jobs, some of them have their papers.
Their papers.
So they don't have to go through the whole process of figuring out if they can work or not. They got their work permit. Yeah. Some of them do. It's a lot. It's a lot. Once you're in there, you see how there's a lot. You see a lot. And then the anti-blackness going on.
Yeah, also too, because there's that
going on. The resources, sometimes the lack, and then the urgency is so much that, it's hard to
keep up.
And then people can't meet those needs right away, like the city. So.
Thank you for making time for this.
Oh, yeah, man, I appreciate it.
I'm going to pull up here, because I think me, Latios, and a lot of other people, we still have a lot of time and a lot of things to dissect. I don't think one episode can encapsulate everything. But thank you again for making time.
Thank you
again for speaking about your experiences in France, because I have homies, they're francophone, and they don't like speaking because I don't share the same sentiments with them. I'll be talking something else, so they don't feel like I relate. And also, like, sharing your story just as an artist in Seattle, how you built your network, the importance of what you're working with, and just, I feel like you're a big beacon of light in our community, and we're going to work together. We're going to do some magic.
So it's going to be a lot.
It's going to be a lot.
I could have wanted to share more, but I can say I want to go with the time.
Yeah.
But we'll appreciate you having me.
Yeah, we'll bring it up here so you can tell us different topics and what your views or something.
Yeah.
Bro, bless up, bro. I appreciate you. my life.